You know, we really need heroes. People in whom the power of the gospel has been fleshed out.
Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Jim was not even 30 years old when he gave his life while attempting to reach a fierce Indian tribe. What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, beginning a series today on the subject of the biography of Elizabeth Prentice. I can't emphasize sufficiently how important I think it is to read Christian biographies. I find biographies absolutely fascinating, not only because I'm very curious about how people live their lives, but in a Christian biography, it's fascinating to trace the providence of God in as much as we are able to do that, from birth to death, showing the background, what it was that made the person what they were, their character, their encounters with God, and the ways in which the Lord directed their lives from the cradle to the grave. One of the most important things about reading biographies, especially needed today, is that they give us heroes. You know, we really need heroes, people in whom the power of the gospel has been fleshed out or incarnated. Why do we need heroes? Well, in order to be able to see that this is how this spiritual principle or this biblical concept worked in his or her life. The Bible has a number of wonderful biographies, the story of Moses and Daniel and David. Study those. You'll see what I'm talking about. But it also, for some reason, is particularly helpful to us to have a biography of people who lived much closer to our time. I think it's rather easy to dismiss Moses and David as great heroes of the faith, but they lived so long ago that perhaps we don't expect things to work in our lives as they did for them. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Nothing has changed in his character. So we need both. But now I want to talk about the biography of a very remarkable woman. Her name was Elizabeth Prentice. She was born in 1818 and lived till 1878. Some of you already will have recognized her name because you've read by far her most popular book, which was Stepping Heavenward. I've done some programs on Stepping Heavenward. It's the fictional diary of a young woman taken from age 16 through her death in her 40s. I strongly suspect that a good bit of Stepping Heavenward is really autobiographical, but at any rate, it is the experience of a young woman with which most of us can identify very closely. Elizabeth Prentice was also the author of the hymn, More Love to Thee, O Christ, which can be found in most older hymn books. I want to read the foreword of this book, written by her husband, George Prentice. This memoir was undertaken at the request of many of Mrs. Prentice's old and most trusted friends, who felt that the story of her life should be given to the public. Much of it is in the nature of an autobiography. Her letters, which with extracts from her journals form the larger portion of its contents, begin when she was in her 20th year and continue almost to her last hour. They are full of details respecting herself, her home, her friends, and the books she wrote. A simple narrative interspersed with personal reminiscences and varied by a sketch of her father and passing notices of others, who exerted a molding influence upon her character, completes the story. A picture is thus presented of the life she lived and its changing scenes, both on the natural and the spiritual side. While the work may fail to interest some readers, the hope is cherished that, like Stepping Heavenward, it will be welcomed into Christian homes and prove a blessing to many hearts, thus realizing the desire expressed in one of her last letters. She wrote, "Much of my experience of life has cost me a great price, and I wish to use it for strengthening and comforting other souls. Elizabeth Prentice was born in Portland, Maine, October 26, 1818, when Maine was still a district of Massachusetts. Her father was Edward Payson, P-A-Y-S-O-N, of old Puritan stock, and his name was very much honored during his lifetime. There were hundreds of children named Edward Payson for him. One person said he was a man of seraphic devotion and one overmastering passion, to become like Christ. He was a pastor, not an orator, and he touched hearts with a power beyond oratory, a wonderful gift in prayer. His love letter to Louisa is reproduced here in this biography, an extract from a manly letter to Miss Shipman, written a few weeks after their engagement, will show the spirit which inspired him, both as a lover and as a husband. "When I wrote my first letter after my late visit, I felt almost angry with you, and quite so with myself. And why angry with you? Because I began to fear that you would prove a dangerous rival to my Lord and Master, and draw away my heart from his service. My Louisa, should this be the case, I should certainly hate you. I must be Christ's. He has purchased me dearly. For a little time, the conflict of my feelings was dreadful beyond description. For a few moments, I wished I had never seen you. Had you been a right hand or a right eye? Had you been the lifeblood in my veins? And you are as dear to me as either. I must have given you up had I continued to feel as I did. But, blessed be God, he has shown me my weakness only to strengthen me. I now feel very differently. I still love you as dearly as ever. But my love leads me to Christ and not from him." Elizabeth, his daughter, was the fifth of eight children. She was dark-eyed, delicate, a little angel, and very well loved. She loved the sea, the beauty of God's world, the white mountains, the oak forest, the cemetery. She was light on her feet, venturesome to the point of rashness, wild and full of fun and frolic. Her strongest impression was of her father. She described minutely his domestic habits, how he looked, talking, sitting by the fire, sitting by the table, using his carpenter tools, different ways of amusing her. Her father had a triple halo in her mind. He was her father, he was a hero, and he was a saint. When she was 10 years old, she wrote this: "My dear sister, I think you were very kind to write to me when you have so little time. I began to go to Mrs. Petrie's school a week ago yesterday. I stay at home Mondays in the morning to assist in taking care of Charles or such little things as I can do. G goes with me. When Mother put Charles and him to bed, as soon as she had done praying with them, G said, 'Mother, will this world be all burnt up when we are dead?' She said, 'Yes, my dear, it will.' 'What, and all the dishes, too? Will they melt like lead? And will the ground be burnt up, too? Oh, what a nasty fire it will make. I saw the northern lights last night. I sleep in a very large, pleasant room in the bed with Mother. I have a very pleasant room for my baby house over the porch, which has two windows and a fireplace in it and a little cupboard, too. E. Wood and I are as intimate as ever. I suppose you know that Mr. Wood is building him a brick house. Mrs. Merrill's little baby is dead. It was buried yesterday afternoon. Mr. Mussey lives across the street from us. He has a great many elm trees in his front yard. His house is three stories high, and the trees reach to the top. We have heard two or three times from E. since he went away. Yesterday, all the Sabbath schools walked in a procession and then went to our meeting house, and Mr. William Cutter addressed them. I am your affectionate sister, Elizabeth Payson." Human nature was her favorite study. She looked upon a book as a friend whom she loved to read. There seemed to be no one in whom she could not find something to interest her, none with whom there was not some point of sympathy. Combined with this wide and genial sympathy was another quality which helped to endear her to her companions, which was an entire absence of any attempt to show her best side or put the best face on anything that concerned her. An ingenuous frankness about herself and her affairs, even about her little weaknesses, was one of her most striking traits. No one, indeed, could know her without learning to love her dearly. Elizabeth's father died when Elizabeth was only 9 years old. When she was 15, she read the biography of Susan B. Anthony. She told me what a good and holy woman Miss Anthony was, how much she suffered, and how beautifully she bore her sufferings. My sympathy was strongly excited, and I exclaimed, "I do not see how it is right for God, who can control all things, to permit such suffering." Lizzie replied very sweetly, "Well, Carrie, we can't understand it, but I have been thinking that this might be God's way of preparing his children for very high degrees of service on earth or happiness in heaven." I was deeply impressed with this remark. Somehow it seemed to stand by me, and I think it was a cornerstone of her faith.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.